Okay, so there's 398, Mizmor Memdalid. Let's try to make an attempt to finish. See what we can do. Ki di ki sanu bimkoim tanim. Hashem, you have crushed us. Bimkoim tanim, in the place of tanim, snakes. Okay, we have been crushed. We are describing over here Golus. In Golus, this is a continuation of the 11 things. We did a little bit of this yesterday. And, not really, but, okay, he's describing over here more of the problems, more of the difficulties that we experience when we are in Golus. We have been crushed. We have the word Diki, son of Dechia. Dechia means, even though you have crushed us in a place of snakes, so I guess if you look at the Midbar, in the desert, well, there's Hashem took care of us, but in Golus we're surrounded by Nechashim. It's a metaphor, obviously. Vatechas aleinu vitzal moves, and we have been overcome by the shadow of death. Okay, let's read a few psukim, then we'll come back to find a little more precision. Okay, even though next pasuk chaf aleph im shochachnu shem elokeinu, did we ever forget Hashem's name? Even though we have suffered so much in Golus and been crushed and been surrounded by the shadow of death, did we ever forget Hashem's name? Vanifrois kapeinu la'el zor. It's a rhetorical question. Hashem, did we ever forget your name, the name of our God? Did we ever dare raise our hands to worship strange gods? Haloi elokim yachkor zois. Hashem, investigate this. You know it's true. You know, we're over here, David is saying to Hashem, make this investigation. You know it's true that we never were unfaithful to you despite the difficulties of Golus. Ki hu yodea ta'alu my slave. You, Hashem, you know the secrets of the heart. Pasuk of Gimel ki olecha ragnu kol hayoyim. Okay. V'nechshavnu kitzoin tifcha. Very, very famous pasuk. On your behalf, we have given up our lives every single day. Kol hayom, continuously throughout Golus. We have been considered in the eyes of the nations sheep to the slaughter. Kitzoin tifcha. Ura, Hashem, wake up. Wake up, Hashem. Lama sishin, why are you sleeping? Now, of course, hine lo yunum lo yishon shomer yishol. Hashem does not sleep, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to suffer in this world, it appears, I'm on the wrong, give me one second, I logged into the wrong Zoom account. There may be one person here who came to learn with us. There may be one person, and I feel bad that he has been disenfranchised. He has been denied his sacred rights in this country to participate in the democratic process. Such a rich vocabulary in the elections. A special due process. The election vocabulary. Here we go. Oh, here we go.
Over here, it's a theocracy.
Good morning. I'm sorry to who's here. Who's this? 667-5804. I don't know who you are. I logged in by mistake to the wrong account. And now we've returned. Okay, we're on page 398. 398, we're Pasuk Chav Dalet. Mizmor Mem Dal, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Ur Lama Sishan, Hashem, wake up. Why are you sleeping? Hashem, Hokitza, another expression which means to wake up. Al Tiznach Lonetzach, do not abandon us. Okay, we had that word already a few times. Do not abandon us forever.
Reject.
Do not reject us. Rav Kalman is here. Baruch Roifei Choylem. Rav Kalman, I'm sorry, we logged in. First of all, I can't hear you. One second. Rav Kalman, I'm having over here problems hearing. Can you hear me? Okay, you can hear me, but for some reason, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Give me one moment. Okay, it should be a little bit better now. Kalman, you want to say something? No, I can't. I still can't hear you. Why not? One moment. Still Okay, you could hear it there. Yeah, you could hear it there, but it's too low. Why is it so low?
I don't know why.
All right. Shvacha Maisis here. Okay, I can't really hear you. All right, I can't really hear you too well, so bear with me. Can you hear me? I'm lazy, you can hear me? Okay, but for some reason I can barely hear you. So, okay, so I can't hear you. You can hear us, but I cannot hear you. So in the meantime, maybe during the break we'll try to figure it out, but in the meantime we'll do like this. Rav Kalman, it is good to see you, Baruch Hashem. You look great. You look 20 years younger, Baruch Hashem. Okay, welcome back. Okay, let's continue. Okay, we over here. Lama panach tasev d'shach on yedu rabu via pasuk chaf hey. We're up to pasuk chaf hey on page 398. Lama panach tasev Hashem. Why are you hiding your face? Tishkach on yedu. Why do you forget our suffering? V'lachatzenu and our oppression. Pasuk chavav. Kishocha le'afar nafshenu, it has been cast down like lashon hishtachava. It has been pushed down to the earth. Our neshama, davka laretz bitneinu, our beten, our belly, is cleaving to the earth. Kuma edras alonu Hashem, rise up, ufideinu redeem us l'man chastecha, redeem us for your sake. Okay, so we ran through these psukim. The psukim generally are the same idea of the previous section, where Klal Yisrael here is expressing to Hashem their loyalty. Even though during the times of Golus, where we have suffered enormously, and we have all these different expressions, more expressions describing our oppression, describing how we are being crushed by snakes, we have been sheltered by death, we've been sheltered in the shadow of death, we are living in the state of Hester Panim. It appears Hashem has forgotten us. Hashem has abandoned us. Our neshama has been pressed, has been bent, been pushed down to the earth. It cleaves, our belly cleaves to the earth. All these poetic expressions, yet nevertheless, we did not forget you. We have been loyal to you. Im shachachnu shem elokein, do we forget your name? Did we ever dare raise our hands to a foreign god? Chas v'shalom. And therefore, Hashem, investigate this. Make an investigation. We have never done anything of the kind, and therefore, please, Hashem, have rachamim upon us.
Isn't this how we got into this trouble?
How do we got into trouble? Mibnei chato'enu golinu me'artzeinu. Our trouble only comes from one reason. That's the emuna of Klal Yisrael. Mibnei chato'enu golinu me'artzeinu. Even though you'll say, how could it be mibnei chato'enu? Go look at children. What possible sin could a child have done that a child deserves to suffer? Nothing. So how do we understand this? Impossible question. There is no way to understand this. Emuna. But generally, generally speaking, the idea is always on the big picture. Umibnei chato'enu golinu me'artzeinu. It is a fact that the Jewish people worship the eagle. It is a fact that they slandered Eretz Yisrael. There are two major cardinal sins that we are always haunted by, the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim. Those are the two major, major sins that we have no relief from, Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim. That together was the knockout punch that we were denied to go into Eretz Yisrael. How come? And that is the source of Golus. You have also the principle. Mechiras Yosef, excellent. Mechiras Yosef. And there's also the Avraham Avinu is the bris bein ha-besorim yodoya teida ki ger yez zaracha bi-eretz lo ilochem va-avodum v'inuy oisam arba me'oshana. And although, and this is something a little bit of a Jewish, it's not really pshat, but we only were in Egypt for 210 years. There's a debt of 190 years. And that debt of 190 years is something that we've been paying off throughout history until the coming of Mashiach. I don't know, we're not good to say that. So it really expressed four different concepts regarding Klal Yisrael. the bris ben habesam Chazal tell us has not been fully paid off. Number two, mechiras Yosef, as Mordechai pointed out. Number three, the chet ha'egel. Number four, the chet ha'meraglim. These are major themes in the suffering of the Jewish people throughout the millennium, throughout until the coming of Mashiach. How does that translate into the individual? Impossible question to understand. To understand how this works, to say the word Gilgal is a very dirty word. That is not a very nice thing to talk about. Is to say that people suffer because they're Gilgulim and they're making up what happened in the previous generation. This traditionally has not been a derech of hashkafa to go dwell upon that. And the only solution is you have to have emuna. Emuna. Without emuna, you don't stand a chance. Pasuk Chav. Now let's see over here the Mitzvah Stavit. The Mitzvah Stavit Pasuk Chav on page 399. 399 bottles of beer on the wall. Okay. Here we go. Page 399 in the Mitzvah Stavit. Ki dichi sanu, Hashem, you have crushed us. Im ki dichi so isanu, although you have crushed us, Hashem. Bimkoim tanim in the place of snakes. Vuhu moshal al humos. This is a moshal for humos. Nevertheless, we have not forgotten you. Im shachachnu, im shachachnu, Hashem, Hashem, bitmiya. Did we ever forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'chi nifra iskapenu le'elzar. Did we ever raise our hands to a strange God? Haloi, ki amarnu, haloi Elokim yachozois, ve'onoish ya'anoish. And what does this mean? This is a little bit difficult. Ki amarnu, we said that if we would do such a thing, I did not translate it correctly. I said that Hashem, why don't you make an investigation, why don't you pull the records and you will witness and you will see that we did not ever abandon you. Maybe someone else says that on the page, but Mitzvah Stavit here says, the reason why we did not ever dare worship a foreign God is because we are well aware that Hashem would hold us accountable. Hashem would investigate our Avera and would bring upon us serious punishment. Therefore, that is the reason why we did not ever worship a foreign god. In other words, we had Yiras Chet. We had Yiras, we had a special prosecutor.
Yiras Chet. One second.
Okay, we had a sense of Yiras
Chet.
And that is why we never, is this working? Is the sound working? Yeah? Okay, that is why we never did anything wrong, because we know that we would be held accountable if we would do an Avera.
Maybe Hashem will investigate and he will punish those who need to be punished.
Exactly, that's what we're saying. It's exactly what we were saying. Is the reason why
not that we wouldn't do it because we're not punished. That Hashem investigates, sees who does punishes them. So that's out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Okay, next. Now we go Pasuk Habez, next word. Haloi ki amarnu, haloi elokim, Pasuk Hav Gimel. Ki olechem, ela bavur yir oscha hoi ragnim. Because we were yirei shemayim, we were slaughtered. Throughout the millennium, there have always been pogroms, been terrible tragedies. Holocaust, vayir nechshavim, k'beini ha'umas, kitzoyin ha'muchon, l'tvoyach. We have always been in the eyes of the nations of the world, like sheep, that they have... Davening. We have this in the davening. I don't remember exactly where in the davening. Tachlon?
No, that's the second half.
In the Monday, Thursday, Tachlon. Monday, Thursday. Monday, Thursday. V'hurachum.
The second half of the
puzzle is. Nechshavnu. Kitsoin tiv. Sorry, it's a different word. This is a different expression. It's a similar expression, but it's not the same. You're right. I don't know. The second portion. Nechshavnu kitzoin.
And it says what? Which part?
The second part in the Tachlin, Habet Mishma, after this on Monday, Thursday. When you say, after the Tachnun, you say, Hashem Elokei Yishol Shuv Me'achor Nekecha, Habet, Mi Yishmaim Urei, Ki Yinu La'ad V'kelis Bagoyim, that we just learned, Nechshavnu Kitzoyin La'tevach Yuvol, La'harik U'la'abet U'lamak U'lacherpa, that second, that this, it's similar, this expression is similar,
yeah, similar.
But it's not from this pasuk.
It's
from
not a quote.
But that just with the beginning of the pasuk here.
The beginning of the pasuk is also, that's also the beginning of this, the beginning is also is the beginning of this mizmah. Ki hayinu la'ag v'keles v'agoyim. That part we learned. We learned that in Mendal pasuk Yudal. We just learned that.
What page are you on
now? Right, with the Siddur, 56.
56.
And this is a composite. This is a collection of expressions from many psukim.
Yeah.
This expression, Abayt Mishnah A, is a collection of three different psukim. Two psukim in two parts of our Mizmar, and one part in Yeshayah. Okay, so it's a collection of Eliezer, thank you. It brings together that expression that we say in davening, brings together three different psukim. These are expressions that have been extracted. There's a sentence that is made up of three expressions taken from three different psukim. Two psukim from this mizmor and one pasuk from a pasuk in Yeshayah. Okay, going back to the Mesudas David, Kiolecha, pasuk of Gimel Letzad Kiolecha, El Bavur Yerascha Haragnu, Vahinu Nechshav Kibayinu Humos Kitzon Hamuchan Letvayach. We have been considering their eyes like sheep ready for slaughter. Pasuk of Dal Ura. Therefore, we say to Hashem, Hashem, please wake up. Ura, leze ura no. He is, we're not, please. Lo ishiya to save us, velo siya kimo hayoshen. Do not be like someone who is sleeping. Tishkach, musav al lomo. Loim al lomo, tishkach. Why do you forget about us? Why do you forget about us? Why do you forget our suffering? Next mizm on the next page, pasuk chavav on page 400, shocha means we have been cast down to the earth like hishtachava, miloshon shechia ukafiv, we've been bent down. Okay, that concludes this mizmar. You know, it's interesting that when we daven, there's a halacha shulchan aruch that how many people do you need for a minyan? 10 people. What happens is a very strange halacha. It says in Shulchan Aruch that one of the people you don't need exactly 10. You need there to be 10 bodies in the room. One of them can be asleep.
Be what?
Can be asleep. Yoshein. Could be asleep. If you have a minyan of 10 bodies and one of the 10 people is sleeping, it's a kosher minyan.
It's not a. Have to learn it.
So that's a whole big topic. This is the big topic of
lechatchila. Sleeping is good learning.
Exactly, learning is also good. So there are different levels. There are different madregos of how many people you need to have a kosher minyan for a davar shabbi kedusha. Obviously, lechatchila you should have 10 people that are wide awake and are concentrating on every single word and doing what they're supposed to do. But you know, that's a tall order in today's day and age. I once heard a Rav, very chashur Ravi, and he said something to me that's totally, I don't understand lahalach what he was saying, that he came out, he's very makbid on davening, he's a real davener, Baruch Hashem, there are people like that, he really davens, and he tries to never ever daven in a minyan unless there are 25 people. 20, why? Because he says, look around, he says, during Chazor Sashatz, most people are not paying any attention. So the Chazor Sashatz really, really technically, it's a shocking thing what he said, because you know, you know, how could you say such thing? That's what he said, and he's a very big rough, he's a very chashur person, and he said, look around, people are not paying attention. People are texting, they're reading, maybe they're learning, maybe they're davening, they're catching up on davening, maybe they're just totally spaced out. So during Chazor Sashatz, if you're not going to concentrate on every single word Chazor Sashatz to answer Amen, that's not Chazor Sashatz. It's the Shatz is a bracha levatola. He's making blessings. No one's listening, and the Amen is not an Amen. Even if who says even answer Amen, and if they do answer Amen, it's just lip service. Mitzvah Sanashim Milamuda. That is not a davening, and that opens up a whole collection of problems of it being the Chazor Sashatz being brachas levatola. It creates a whole difficult situation. So. So he holds that you know, you have to, if you have 25 people, hopefully from 25 people, you'll get a degree of listeners. Hopefully you'll have close to 10 people. All right, that is definitely shloik halach.
Very arbitrary number.
Yeah, whatever. That's what he, whatever he, I guess, whatever, he'll adjust the number based upon, I guess, where he went, where he's going. But the point is, al pi halacha, you need 10 people. Shulchan Aruch makes a rule that says one of them can be sleeping. And then there's a whole collection, the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah as a whole. That's what it says, Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says, Shulchan Aruch. It says Shulchan Aruch. Mama Shulchan Aruch. One person, I think it's the Mechaber. One person can be Yoshein. So the question is, why? Why? What does that mean exactly? Why in the world would I don't know. I don't.
The Dashti B'Sof B'nei Yisrael is the limud that.
Exactly. V'nikdashti admosai le'edo horo hazois yatsu Yeshua v'kalev. So the edo horo is 10 people, and therefore we learn Xerushava edo. I don't remember the entire, it's a three-way Gzereshava. The Gemara comes out of Moscow and you have to have 10 people in order to say a Davashah B'Kedusha. Along comes Shulchan Aruch, obviously, I don't remember the source, and it says one of them can be sleeping. And the Mishnah has a whole long discussion, exactly all the rules, exactly, you know, B'dieved, let's say some of the people are davening Shemona Esrei, do you need a Roy that's Minkar, there's a number 6, there's a number 7, there's a number 9, and there's a number 10. Okay, in certain situations, if there are 6 people that are davening roif, if most people are davening, there are 6 people that are paying attention, and there are 4 people that are in different states of not paying attention or not participating. So there are different opinions. Obviously, there's a lechatchila and there's a bediyeved. All different types of situations. The people even shomer Shabbos. Okay, you go to a Sheva Brachas in a restaurant and you need Padam Chadashas, and everyone at the Sheva Brachas already participated at the wedding, and the only one we can find is an irreligious waiter who claims that he's Jewish. So can he be the Padam Chadashas in order to say the Sheva Brachas? Not so simple. People do this all the time. Okay, I don't have to tell you. You know all the stories better than me. Go to a cemetery, you want to make a kilmale, and the only people you can find the people who you really are, you know, there are people that are there that are obviously not, they're very kind, they're willing to come over and help you out, but sometimes they're not observant. There are many different levels of collecting 10 people. As Rav Mordechai pointed out, all it says in the Torah is you have to have present 10 bodies. 10 bodies. What does that mean? V'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Toich. The Gezerah Shavah toich. And Admosa ha'idu ha'ru ha'zois. In any event, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have 9, and you have one person who's sleeping, it's good. Isn't that a little bizarre? Someone is sleeping? So, I want to say a drush. And the drush is, basically, from this pasuk. Ura lama sishan. If Hashem can be asleep... We can be asleep. You know, there's the Mishnah Berurah talks about this. Are you allowed to have, you have only 9 people. You only have 9 people. Can you take for the 10th person a Sefer Torah?
It only appears.
Can you?
Hashem is not really asleep. He only appears.
100%. Hashem never sleeps. Hashem appears to be asleep when we are not behaving. V'enochi haster as
depanai. The person who is actually asleep. But okay.
No, actually asleep. It says Shulchan Aruch Yoshein. It says in Shulchan Aruch you only need not, yeah, one of the ten can be.
The analogy, the drusha.
Right. Hashem is never asleep. Hashem appears, but over here we have a possibility that says Ura in Megillas Esther.
We're saying if Hashem is asleep, then we can be asleep. But Hashem is not really asleep because He only appears to be asleep.
But okay,
so we can learn only from that if a person appears to be asleep.
You're a very good lamdan. You're very good lamdan. Bottom line is, it's a Feresh Gemara Masech Megillah Balayla Hahu Nadud Shnas Hamelech. Feresh Gemara Shnosoi Shel Melech Shel Malkoi Shel Olam. On that night, Hashem woke up. The Gemara says when it says Hamelech, on that night, Hashem's sleep was disturbed. Who is the Melech? Malkoi Shel Oilam. Hashem made believe that he was sleeping. He allowed Klal Yisrael to slip into a tzara of Lahashmid Kol HaYehudim Minar V'Yad Zokein. And that night, after Klal Yisrael rallied, Leich Kinoises Kol HaYehudim V'Tzumo Olav V'Yal Teichlu V'Yal Tishlu Shloyshe Simim Laila V'Yoyim Balaila Hahu Nodido Shnas HaMelech Shinosoi Shel Malkoi Shaloilam. I don't remember the exact words of the Gemara. Okay, but it's a Beferish Gemara. This is not a Hasidish of art. It's a Beferish Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel, when we do not behave, makes believe that he is asleep. And in this Pasik, it supports this with another Pasik, Beferish Ura, Lama Sishan, Hashem. I mean, you can't get more explicit than that. That David HaMelech says, Hashem, why are you sleeping? Why do you appear to be sleeping? So therefore, I'm trying to suggest this. There's another halach in Shulchan Aruch which discusses, what about if you don't have a full minyan? You only have 9 people. You only have 9 people in a minyan. Are you allowed to be mitzareif a sefer Torah to the minyan? To be mitzareif Hashem to the minyan? The Mishnah Berurah paskins, you're not allowed to. But the very fact that the Mishnah Berurah has the paskin, you're not allowed to, goes to show is that it's not so simple. I know someone told me he was an eyewitness to Kapitchen at Sereba. On the Lower East Side, it was Shabbos Mincha. They called him in for a minyan. There was they desperately trying to get a minyan for Mincha on Shabbos afternoon on the Lower East Side, the Kapitchen at Sereba, Zechat Tzadik of Karosh Levracha. And he was the Rebbe of the Rebbes, the Kapitchen at Sereba. And he couldn't get a minyan, and he opened up, he says he was an eyewitness. The Rebbe opened up the Aron HaKodesh, and he held on to the Atzei Chaim, and he davened Mincha. He davened Mincha as if there was a minyan by holding on, by opening up the Aron HaKodesh and holding on to the Atzei Chaim. Tremendous Chiddush LaHalacha. Okay, obviously that's his Mesorah. What? The Chassidim don't. There's a Shulchan Aruch, a Shulchan Aruch Harav, there's a Shulchan Aruch, you don't pass in different. There's a Chiddush, he did this, none of my business. This is what the person told me, he was an eyewitness. He saw this, only 9 people in the opening of the Aron HaKodesh, and he held on to the Atzei Chaim. I remember as a child over here in the Tamashav Rebbe. Okay, probably the grandfather, I don't know, the father. When I was a little kid, I remember there was only 9 people. They wanted to say in Shabbos morning. I used to go to my grandfather. My grandfather Zichron Levracha lived over here on East 12th Street. And there was the Tamashav Rebbe. The Tamashav Rebbe, they wanted to say Kaddish Drabanan before Pesukei de Zimra. There were only 9 people. He told a kid, there was a child there, a boy under bar mitzvah. He told him, hold on to the chumash. And he said the Kaddish. So you see, even though the Mishnah Berurah is not a big fan of this, and l'halacha l'maisa, we should never do this. This is not our minhag, but people do this. And where does it come from? It comes possibly from the Medrash that when the brothers sold Yosef, the Bnei Yaakov sold their brother Yosef as a slave, when they made a decision that he's a roidef and he has to be eliminated, there were only 9 of them. There were only 9 of the brothers were present. Yosef was the victim, and there were 9 perpetrators. They needed a minyan. They needed a minyan to paskin, to make a shvua barabim, that anyone who dare reveals what they're about to do should be in shamta, should be put in cheren. And it says in the Medrash there were only 9. How are they going to get a minyan? Who are they going to find in the desert to go be mitzarev to their minyan to make a shamta? Anyone that reveals what they were about to do, to take their brother, and originally they wanted to murder him, and then they were going to sell him, so they were mitzareif Hashem in their minyan. Hashem was part of the minyan. Reuven was not there. Reuven left. Okay, there were 10, there were 11 people present at that moment, if I'm not mistaken. Binyamin was at home. Binyamin was not present. Yos, there are 12 tribes, right? They were 12 brothers. Yosef was the victim. Reuven was not present. Binyamin was at home. So there were only 9 people available to participate in this minyan. They were mitzareif Hashem. Hashem, come join our minyan. So you do see such a principle. Obviously, well, I guess he was outnumbered. Go basaroif. Torah labasham, yeah. If there are 9, I'm not familiar with this. There are 9 people, they should not be together.
If one side side holds that they should sit together.
Yeah.
So this way it looks like this ten.
Yeah.
The other way they should spread out.
Disperse, so it shouldn't look like what?
And they include the Hashem in it as the tenth person.
Hashem is the tenth. I'm not familiar with this. I don't know.
First of all, maybe by Avraham Avinu when he was swallowed for the Anshei Snow.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Also, I think there was nine and was
eight. He did not. He asked for nine. Right. Excellent. Excellent. Right. So he's saying very good that if there were nine and all right, let's do 45. 45. Start with 50. Ulay yesh chamishim tzadikim. Excellent. Let's say the next was 45. 9 plus Hashem. And then when it got down to the very end, when 8 he did not ask for because Noach and his family were 8. 9, he already asked Hashem 9 to be mitztaref, and Hashem said no. So you see again. Excellent. So you see another example of where 9 people can be mitzarif with the Shekhinah to make the quorum. 10 people. 10. So you see that principle. You see that principle. So
there is also the second is a Gemara maybe is mentioned in Brachos that says 9 and Orein mitzarif.
So it's in the Torah.
People
right.
Darshan just open up the Orein or hold the Atzei. But the Gemara says that, or I think it's the Gemara maybe mentions. Orein doesn't stand for the Orein. Echad Roya V'Yeno Nira.
Hashem, wow, the Shekhinah. Wow.
No, it could even be 10 people. One person is on the other side of the machine.
Sleeping.
He's Roya V'Yeno Nira. He's not seen from the inside. So that's going to be Mitzvah.
On the other side of the he's not in the same Rishus. He's Roya Avinu Nira. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So Yitaka sees such a principle that when it comes to making minyan, that even though we have halach, as you said, at Mosai La'idu Haru HaZais, there are 10, but there is such a principle that you can be mitzaref Hashem. There's such a principle. I gave a couple of examples. There is such a principle. Halach L'maisa, we don't do this. Okay, that's not our, this is not our custom. The Mishnah Berurah strongly says you don't do this. I don't remember. He says this. He does say something. B'shas Hadchak. Yeah. What does he say?
I think he writes that in a real pinch. If you remember, in the South,
real pinch.
In the South Bronx in the late 70s.
You're really stuck.
Not to have a minion. The shul's been closed down.
B'shas Hadchak. I think the Mishnah Berurah also. I learned, not that long ago. Dear Shoes, learning this Mishnah Berurah now. This I vaguely. Okay, COVID. You are right. COVID. You broke every single rule in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, rules that beyond belief. What went on? Rachmana Litzlan. COVID. During COVID. COVID was like Shulchan Aruch on steroids. Okay, every rule.
When did
Rav Moshe
say that it's good?
There must be a shul. If you have a shul that's going to close down, they only have 9 people, and if you're not going to make use of this leniency of being mitzaref Hashem, the Sefer Torah, a katan holding a chumash. So Rav Moshe was b'shas atchak. If the shul is going to close down, you can be lenient. Why am I bringing all this point out over here? Is because over here we have Ura. David HaMelech, in Shulchan Aruch it says you can have 10 people, and one of the 10 people can be sleeping. So I'm just suggesting to you that the person sleeping is no worse than a Sefer Torah. Is no worse than Hashem. I mean, I don't mean that as because we see that there's such a rule 9 plus. If you have 9 people, there is such a principle that maybe you can be Mekel, you can be Mitzaref. Sefer Torah, you can mitzaref. We find in the Midrashim Hashem, like you mentioned, by Sodom and by the Bnei Yaakov with regard to Yosef, Hashem. You have a child with a chumash. They represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. They are a Yiddish neshama, Yisrael v'Oraisa v'Kudsha Brichu Chadhu. Oh, but you'll say. You'll say, but they're not awake. Okay, a child is not a bar das. Someone that's sleeping is is not fully here. You can't say that you're here. Well, the Ribbono Shel Olam is considered present even when he is in a state of sleep. How could you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present when he's in a state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even sleeps? Look at the Pasuk. Ura. Lama Sishan. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Megillah. Balailahu Nodad Hashnas HaMelech. So, if there is such a principle that you can combine HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the minion, to be mashlim the minion, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in any state, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really always there. So a person who is your tenth man, who is not conscious, who is not participating, is no worse than him being asleep. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm just trying to give a drush as to why the Shulchan Aruch goes out of its way to say you can have need 10 people, but one of them can be sleeping. Because the truth is, you don't really need 10 people. You only need 9 people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be your 10th person, your tenth man, so to speak. And you'll say, but wait, at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. He's fully aware, he's fully awake. Not necessarily. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself in Tanakh, in Chazal, to be considered in a matziv of Yoshein. And the proof is what we've learned over here. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly can be mitzarif in any situation that he is in. So a person who is Yoshein, you know, it's like a sniff, can be the representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who also can be called Yoshein. Now, when you lane, this is a very famous story, by Kriya Satorah, there are three people who stand by the Bima. The Baal Kriya, the Oyle, the one who gets the Aliyah, and the Gabbai. And the Mefarshim explain they represent, every time you have Kriya Satorah, it's a reenactment of Matan Torah. The one that gets the Aliyah represents Klal Yisrael. The one who lanes the Torah, the Baal Kriya, represents Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Yidaber V'Elokim Yanenu V'Kol. And the Gabbai represents the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gabbai is Rosh HaTevos, Ona B'Koyach Gedulas Hashem. It's Rosh HaTevos, Ona B'Koyach Gedulas Hashem. The Gabbai is the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Baal Kriya is Moshe, and the Oyle is Klal Yisrael. So you do see such a principle that there are people that can make believe be a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I'm suggesting to the person who is the Yoshein in Shulchan Aruch, that is the tenth man for the minion, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the fact that we're in Golus today is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making believe that he is Yoshein. Even though, of course, Hashem, we shouldn't say any happy courses here, he ne lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. But when we do not behave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to be perceived as if he is Yoshein. All right, that's a drush. Let's go further. Let's continue. So we finish over here the mitzvahs. Now let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi pasuk chaf. Rashi will be on this page. Pasuk chaf and chaf beis. Ki dikisan b'mkayim ta'anim ki ze mishamish b'loshon ka'asher. Okay, we know that the word ki can be mishamish four different lashonos. Four, and over here is ka'asher when. The af ka'asher hishbal tanu. Even when you have lowered us be'eretz arava v'shucha, in a land that's arava, barren and low, shucha means low, midbar, a place,
and pits
and a desert,
shichin,
okay, pits, fine, a midbar, makom ta'anim, a desert, a place of scorpions, of snakes, v'chisis aleinu v'tzalmavetz, v'choshech, and you've covered upon us darkness. What kind of darkness? The shadow of death, a fear of dying in any moment, even though you've done this to us. V'choshech av af b'chol zois, nevertheless, im shachachnu, shem elokeinu. Hu yachor zos, ki hu yodea ta'alumas. Do we ever forget? We have yirah shamayim. We are well aware that if we would abandon you and we would worship another god, you would investigate this and you would punish us. We would never do that. Kitzoin tivcha, kitzoin shel tevach. Like sheep, there are different types of sheep. There are sheep that are raised for their wool, and there are sheep that are raised for the slaughter. When sheep are raised for their wool, you treat them nice. You're good to them. You know why you're good to them? Because if you're not good to them, then the wool's going to get ruined. The wool's going to get dirty. They're going to hang out in the wrong places. The animals get sick. The wool will not be a quality wool. So if you are raising sheep because you want their wool, you're going to treat them well. But if you don't care about the wool, you just care about the meat, you don't care, then the sheep are not treated well. They're just fattened for the slaughter. Okay, next Rashi is another Rashi on the next page. Ufadeinu leman chasdecha. Ein anu ba mekoyach ma'aseinu el leman chasdechasei. After everything is said and done, Klal Yisrael says, redeem us for your kindness. This is a very famous chazal that tzaddikim do not want to benefit from their ma'asim toivim. Tzaddikim only want to benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. Here in this mizmar, we have outlined incredible merit of Klal Yisrael, that even though they suffer enormously by Golus, all of these horrible things that are enumerated, yet they did not forget Hashem. They remain loyal to Hashem. They don't forget. They never would worship another god. And therefore, what greater merit could Klal Yisrael have than the emunah that they demonstrate in times of Golus? Yet, we do not ask Hashem that in this merit, save us. When everything is said and done, Kuma Ezra Solanu, help us, Ufedenu, redeem us, not because of our beautiful merits of what we've listed in this, what we've mentioned in this Mizmar, but we only want your kindness, Chesed, as if we have no merit at all. Tzaddikim only ask HaKadosh, they do not rely upon their merits, they humble themselves if they do not have any merits, and they only ask for Hashem's kindness. We discussed last week that if a person finds himself in an Eitz Tzara, there's a controversial disagreement, is it a proper thing in desperation for a person should enumerate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu his merits? And over here, there are different psukim that seem indicate go different ways. This pasuk, at least according to the interpretation of Rashi, certainly seems to indicate that a person should never, ever say to Hashem, I deserve it. I deserve it. Look what I did in my life. I did chesed. I did all these good things. I was ma'avel midoisav, and v'chulu v'chulu, all the good things a person, and therefore Hashem, you owe me. You owe me. I'm now in a pickle. I have a very big tzara on my hands. I need a salvation. You owe it to me.
He wanted it only to be, I don't want it to decrease my bank account, but only if you're doing it as a favor, you know, you're doing it stum because you're being, you know, I'll take it.
But don't, the tzaddikim do not want,
I didn't deserve it, just.
They don't go and look at their good deeds and use that as a wedge, as a bargaining chip with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you owe me. That is not a proper derech. And this pasuk says it explicitly. There cannot be bigger merits for Klal Yisrael than the things that we mentioned here in this pasuk. Did we forget you, Hashem? Ki olecho haragnu kol hayoyim. We died for you. We died for you, Hashem. I mean, what more can you possibly say? Nechshavnu ketzayin tifcha. We give our life for you, even though we suffer so much. But yet, we're not going to say, because we died, because there was a Holocaust, therefore, we demand from you, Hashem, you owe it to us, bring Mashiach. It doesn't say that here. It says, Ufedenu leman chastech. The reward of the Kedoshim is a separate account. That's a separate account. That's not for us to use as a wedge, as a bargaining chip to survive. Comes the Yom Noirah, people know some people, they go through a lot during the year, and, you know, they do good things. They do good things, the mevater, they have a lot of problems and they accept and they're good and they really do things l'fnei mishur hasadin, and then on the there they are on Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur, and they need Hashem to do them a favor. You know, Hashem, I got a big problem, I got this. You know, Hashem, you know, this year, you know, look what I did. I really went the extra mile. Don't you think you owe me? you owe me a little bit. Maybe that should be a suchus. No. This, at least this pasuk, I mean, I'm not, obviously it's a very controversial thing because some people, adarava, they say you should. But at least this pasuk, Rashi says, after everything is said and done, ufedenu leman chastecha.
Like on the Seres Pei Tshuva, we say, which is Zachrenu b'chayim, Melech Chofes b'chayim, Bechosfeinu b'sefer achayim. And why? Leman chav elokim chayim.
Your sake, not our sake. Not because of our merits. On the other hand, you're learning now Masech Nedarim. Noidin be'esara. How do you reconcile this principle of Ufadein Laman Chastecha with the principle of Yaakov Avinu im Yelukimi Madi Ushmarani Baderech Hazeh Shanochi Holech V'Nosan Li Lechem Lechel Levegel Lubosh. Veshavti bevei savi v'chulu v'chulu. Then v'evan azos tia v'evan azos. A person we do find make a deal. Let's make a deal. I accept upon myself not to talk during davening, and you Hashem will grant my daughter a shidduch. Okay. I accept upon myself and now want to say with kavana asher yotzar. Very, very carefully, and you, Hashem, will heal me. Will bring a refuah for a person, my friend, who needs a refuah shlema. You're going to bring him a refuah shlema. Okay, let's make a deal. Why is that different? It's the future.
One act with another act. You're not saying the schus that I did such and such.
So he's saying the future versus the past. Here you are, Yom Kippur, Ni'ili Yom Kippur, and you say, "Look, Hashem, look, the whole year." The whole year I said Asher Yotzar with Kavana. I need a favor. I have someone that I know who needs a refuah. Let the merit of what of saying Asher Yotzar with Kavana every single day this whole year, let it go as a merit that this person should get a refuah shlema. Is that a proper
case?
Shayichya b'ni. Excellent. I give 100, give money. B'shvil sheyichya b'ni. Harei zeh tzadik gomor. Tzadik gomor. But over here, what does it say over here? It doesn't say that over here. It says over here, ufedein l'man chastecha. We've just listed the greatest suchus klal yishol kehav. Ki olecha...
He needs to give it anyway. Even if it's not yichya.
Ki olecha haragnu kol hayom. There's no greater suchus than ki olecha haragnu kol hayom. And yet, ufedein l'man chastecha.
A guy says that it's not good.
Because a guy, he only has understand these asagas. Because a Jew doesn't mean. So when the Gemara over here is harez et sadi gomer, maybe is the Gemara trying to say, is it really... It's not the ideal thing to do. But listen, you got to be practical in this world. You got to be pragmatic. And therefore, if a person wants to say this, it's gesund to hate. Harei zeh tzadik gomor. There's nothing wrong.
But that's why a lot of people interpret, now I shouldn't say the farshim, they interpret im yeh elokim, not if, but since. And they bring down, like the Eben Ezra will bring down many instances where the word im means since, not if. So that says, since you're going to do all this for me, because the dream came first. After the dream that he said, you know, that he's going to take care of him, then he said, well, in that case, then I'm definitely going to have to reciprocate and be shamitari mitzvos.
Yeah, I have a friend, he's very into this, very into making deals with Hashem. The whole day he's making deals with Hashem, the whole day. And really, it's like very interesting. You know, he's an Israeli, he's a very, the whole day, okay, I need this. He's very aggressive. I want to accomplish something, right? I'm going to take upon myself to do this. And he takes upon himself, and he comes back and he tells me how it worked. It didn't work. And he's always making deals with Hashem. The art of making a deal. He's always making deals. I thought originally he's crazy. But you know something? Maybe he's not. Maybe I'm crazy. I am crazy. You know, it's a certain personality. Different strokes for different folks.
But he's MS. He means it.
He really means it. But like, he has this interesting relationship with Hashem. Like I'm going to make a deal. I want this. You know what? I'm going to makabel upon myself to do this. It's like the extreme for a period of time. And he does these things. And like, he keeps on doing this. He makes deals. Other people are like, you don't make deals with Hashem. You just live your life, do what you're supposed to do, and be mispalo, hope for the best, and it is what it is.
Does Hashem keep his end of the deal?
Who are we to make deals? Who are we to make deals with Hashem? Who are we to make deals? Like Mark said, a person says, or Mordechai said, a person says, I'm giving a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash b'shvil sheyichya b'ni. And what happens if Rachmana Litzlan, the yichya b'ni doesn't happen? Does the person have a complaint? No. The Gemara says no, because the person deep down in his mind knows that you really don't make deals with Hashem. It's just to be like a zechus. It should be maybe it'll push you over the top. But if it doesn't work out. You're not going to be a koyfer if it doesn't work out, because everyone deep down in their heart knows that you don't make deals with Hashem. So why make the deal? Zeruz, encouragement. It's a certain chizik. Mikan shenoidrim be'ez tzara. All right, this is a big topic. It's a very controversial topic. We'll leave it with that. But it says over here, let's do some something before we conclude. Let's look at this Malbim. I want to look at this Malbim over here. At least one before we move to page 399. The Malm over here says, Ki. Okay, let's read this Malm. Pasachav. Okay, read the whole Malm. Pasachav. It's really Pasachav. Gimel's like one of them. Pasachav. Ki. The Eis Asher Diki Son of Mokam Tanim. At the time, when you Hashem crushed us in Golos, in the desert, a place of snakes. The Eis Yinu Bein Achzorim. Kitanim, Vatchas Olenu Vitzalmovis, Shehimisu Oisanu Bimisois Mishunois. Over here, the Malm over here is talking from hindsight. Malm over here was not that long ago, and he's telling us, look back in history, look back at the tragedies of history. He lived before the Holocaust. But look back at what happened until the Holocaust, all of the pogroms, the crusades, the Gezeres of Tach V'tat. You know what's very good? You learn about the Tach V'Tat. You know, there's a very, I actually was just a Hashkocha protest. It's unbelievable that I just accidentally came across it. Avner Gold. Does that name mean anything to anyone over here? Yeah. Avner Gold, he wrote a series of children's books. Okay? Most adults, it's really for adults, not for children. Historical fiction. And historical fiction is a fascinating way to learn history. Because sometimes history can be very boring. Okay, history can be very boring. Dry, boring, and subject to whose interpretation. And when you have a person, there's an infinite number of historical fiction, but you have a good novel, and the person who wrote it did his homework, and he puts the novel, the fiction, in an historical context. You mimela pick up very quickly incredible ideas about the times. So he wrote a book, an historical, it's a small book, it's only like 150 pages, I think, about Tach V'Tat. Chmielnicki, Bogdan Chmielnicki, in the year 1648, 1649, and it's really good. It's really, really, I don't know, it's one of his books. He has a lot of books. All the books are historical fiction. And it gives you a way, in a pleasurable way, to really get a feeling, a real flavor of the times. The Nisyonos. Who are the cast of characters? Who are the Kazakhs? Who the serfs and the Polish nobles? And where did the Jews fit into the picture? What exactly was their role? And it's a very interesting thing not to underestimate the koyach, if you have time for this type of stuff, to study history through historical fiction. And especially some of the people who do this, who have expertise in this, they do an enormous amount of research before they write their fiction in order to understand. They did the homework for you already. They really delve very deeply into the context of where they want to put their story, and when you read these stories you get a very great benefit of understanding a real nice flavor of what was going on during that time of Tach V'Tat. Over here, the Malbim over here is writing about the horrors of Jewish history, whether it's Tachvatat, whether it's the Inquisition, whether it's the Tsars of Russia, whether it's the Crusades, whether it's the pogroms, all the horrible events of Jewish history, and we have been tortured. Probably the worst type of torture took place during the Inquisition. Inquisition, the torture, well, they didn't just kill Jews.
The Holocaust was pretty bad.
Oh, the Holocaust was the Holocaust, and you know, but there was something unique about the Inquisition of torture. They don't just kill you; they didn't kill Jews. They tortured them. To read some of the things that they did, some of the types of techniques, some of the tools, there are museums that have these torture chambers of what they did to Jews. It's just.
It's on record, by the way. The largest book in the Vatican is How to Best Torture a Jew.
See?
They had it on PBS. That's the biggest volume in the Vatican, in the basement there. It's very, a very fat, big book. For the Inquisition. Right. How Best to Torture a Jew.
Unbelievable.
They wanted to get to reveal who else were Veranos and stuff like that.
They just hated us. Halacha b'yadur Esav soyne Yaakov. They tortured us because they just wanted to torture us. Rishon harudim yimach shemam v'zichram. Read over here, what is over here. Over here it says, over here, be'eis b'tzalmaves she'imisu oysanu b'misois mishunais. V'inui oysanu b'yisurim koshim lotseis min adas, to force us to abandon our faith. This certainly is talking about the crusade, the Inquisition. This is the Crusades also to a degree, but the Inquisition really took the cake. Gam bo esahi pasuk of aleph ho'im shachachnu shem elokeinu hagam ki v'nifrois kapeinu le'elzar hagam. So he learns over here a homiletic interpretation of this pasuk, not what we learned. We learned as a rhetorical question. We read this pasuk as a rhetorical question. Did we ever? Im shachachnu shem elokeinu? Question mark. Va nifrois kapeinu le'el zar? Question mark. Did we ever worship another god? Chas v'shalom. Along comes the Ma'alim. Oh, we didn't? What about all of the anusim? What? What about the anusim? Do you know how many people were not able to be omitted in the sign of the Inquisition and converted? You know, during the Crusades, they don't talk about this. The Crusades, they make it sound like everyone during the time of the Crusades died al kiddush Hashem. Historically, that's not correct.
Oh, they said at least 100,000 converted.
During the Crusades?
No, during the Anusim.
The Anusim, right, the Anusim. But even during the Crusades. Okay, the Crusades was such a long time ago, so we imagine that when you read the Kinnis during the Crusades, we imagine every single Jew who lived in Germany when the Crusaders came and marched, they died al kiddush Hashem. Unfortunately, that's not true. Unfortunately, Holocaust also, many people tried to make they were goyim. Okay, the Holocaust was different. Holocaust was just murder. There was torture also. There was humiliation, murder. There was suffering. Holocaust was enormous suffering, humiliation, murder, and there was torture. No one's denying there was torture. But the Crusades, the goal was torture. And the goal was to convert. Well, not even, they didn't even care, they didn't want you to convert. They wanted to just torture you and kill you. The Crusades was to convert. That was the real goal, to convert. Not real, to steal your money and to convert. But every era has a unique flavor, a unique agenda, each era of Jewish history. He's writing over here what it would appear to be, from my extremely limited knowledge of Jewish history, what really fits well with the time of the Inquisition, where he writes, V'inu oysanu b'yisudim koshim lotseis min hados, to force us to abandon our Jewish faith. Now here he writes an incredible chiddush. He writes that it's not a rhetorical question, it's a statement of fact, that even when we were not able to be oymed in the nisoyon, and we outwardly made believe that we were good Christians, what did we do Friday night? We went to the basement, lit Shabbos candles, and had a Suda Shabbos and observed Torah u'mitzvah secretly. Hagam, although ki vanif rois kapeinu le'elzar, hagam shehayinu anusim. We had no choice. Lifrois kapeinu le'elzar, hoya zerak b'mase. That was only outwardly. That was only because we had no choice. Avol belev, but in our heart, gam bo eish sheparasnu kapayim lavoidas gilulim, hoya libeinu sholem im yichur Hashem v'emunasai. Haloy Elokim yachar zoshu hu yodeya ha'emes. Hashem knows the truth. He knows that even though we went to church, even though we bow down to the Avodah Zarah, Hashem, you know that when we were bowing down to you, and our heart were bowing down not to the Avodah Zarah. Shehu yoideya ho'emes ma shehoya bilvaveinu, ki hu yoideya ta'alumo yislev, v'gam ha'nisoyen yoid al zeh, which is a person that bears a person through his own life experiences, know that it's true. Ki haloi olech oragnu kol hayom shagam hu anusim shemiu datam be'es hashmat. Didn't make a difference, because the end was they were caught and they were killed. Neragu achar kach v'nishmedu, they were killed, they were destroyed. Shebochanu v'chokru achareihem. He's obviously describing over here the Inquisition in time of the Spanish. The time of the Spanish expulsion, that they came after them wherever they were. They investigated. So he's saying over here an incredible, awesome shot. He's saying over here, this pasuk over here is being melamed zuchus on the people that were not able to be omid in the nesayon of torture. There's a basic halacha. There's three things a person is obligated to give up their life: avoy dezara, gili arayos, and shlichas tamim. What happens if a person is not omid in the nesayon? A person comes, a goy comes, if you don't bow down to the idol, I'm going to kill you. And you get scared, and you bow down to the idol. You bow down to the idol. Do you lose your olam haba? You mechuyev according to the halacha. You have an obligation to die. A goy, a non-Jew, comes, bow down, pledge your allegiance to the idol. And if not, I will kill you. So you say to him, okay. And you bow down. Does that mean the person loses his chelik in olam haba? Absolutely not. Oynis rachmona patre. It's against his will. It's an accident. It's not under his control. You mechuyev to give up your life. And if you will give up your life, we have emuna that the reward cannot even be calculated. The reward of giving up your life. But if you can't do it, if a person is unable to do it, he just cannot put himself together and give up his life, it's okay. It's okay. Oynis rachmona patre. You're exempt. There's no punishment. You can come back to shul the next day and you get an aliyah. We'll give you shishi. It's not your fault. No one's going to blame you for not giving up your life. And that's how the Malm over here learns Shan this pasuk. The pasuk over here says, Im shachachnu shem elokeinu. We never forgot your name even. The word im, according to the Malm, is going on vanifrois kapenu le'elzar. Even at the time when we raised up our hands to a foreign god, even at that moment we were thinking about you, Hashem. And you know it, Hashem. Hashem, you know what's in our heart. Don't look at the videotape that we bow down to a god. Haloy Elokim yachkar zois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can investigate what's in a person's heart and mind. Ki hu yoidea ta'alumo slave. Isn't that a beautiful pshat? Okay, this is a modern pshat. This is not the pshat that it says in Rashi. It's not what it says in the Mitzudos. In the Mitzudos and Rashi, it says, it's a rhetorical question. Did we ever go and raise up our hands to never! Chas v'shalom, even in times of Golas. You know, Rashi wrote that. And the Mitzudas David is drawing from that because Rashi lived pretty much before, in history, before we had such nisyonos. When Rashi wrote this, Rashi, we don't know if Rashi wrote this before the Crusades. Rashi lived at the end of his life. He was 56 years old, I think, at the time of the first Crusade. Yes. When did Rashi write? 56. So when did Rashi write this? Was it before the Crusades? After the Crusades? Rashi, looking back at history, it does not. I don't know. There were 1,000 years since the Churban, so it's you can't really judge. There were a lot of pogroms. Exactly, but on looking back at history now, ain't a doime. The time of the Malm writing this, Malm is writing this, what, 600-700 years? So dealing with almost 700 years, the Malm is writing, look back in history. Did the Jewish people worship strange gods? They certainly did. They certainly did. When Rashi wrote this, did Rashi, when looking back, did the Jewish people worship strange gods? I don't know the history. Willingly, when they were under attack, I mean, during time of the Beis Hamikdash, obviously, we know we learn in the Nevi'im, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Golos. Rashi writes here that even though when Rashi wrote his Perush, Rashi lived until Rashi was 65 years old when he died, and Rashi died in the year 1105. So it's been approximately 1,000 years since the Churban Beis Hamikdash. 1,000 years. Rashi Ruach HaKodesh, but let's look their pshat. Rashi has in front of him, as behind him, 1,000 years of history of Golus of the Jewish people. And Rashi doesn't seem to say that we're going to interpret this pasuk the way the Malbim interpreted the pasuk. The Malbim lived 800 years. 700 years after Rashi, and the period of time that the Malm was looking back on is a very different era of Golus than when Rashi is looking back on. And when the Malm looks back on the last 700 years from the time of Rashi, the Malm sees that the Jewish people, when they were threatened with death and torture, worshipped other gods. They gave in, by and large. Not everyone was able to give up their life. And they worshipped other gods. That's a reality. That's a fact. And therefore, the Malbim interprets the pasuk a completely different way. Even though it's taket true, we have the videotape. We worshipped other gods. But you, Hashem, you know, it wasn't our fault. We were tortured. We were forced to do this. And you can investigate our hearts and know how sincere we were in serving you. And look what happened at the end. The end was, anyway, they were caught, these people. And they were anyway killed. So that's the proof that the revelation of even Lamafred, that when they worship other gods, it wasn't because they wanted to do so, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have rachmanis upon us. Like, this was
1,000 Jews, by the way. That's the thing. When they ran away, there were thousands of Jews who made it to South America when they ran away, and they began to practice Yiddishkeit again. They literally sent ships when they found out what was going on, to bring them back from South America back to Spain and torture
them. To torture them. Yeah. It was a horrible, horrible time. Horrible, horrible time. This Malbim really is an incredible chiddush, what the Malbim says. It's an incredible chiddush. It's a revelation of how psukim, how you only really understand the pshat and the pasuk much later. David wrote these words, and Rashi came along and he interpreted the words his way. And then 700 years later, it's a new reality. And you look at these words, they have a whole different meaning, a whole different understanding of the Pshutai Shal Mikra. Meir, you see, Meir, if they would go, there's a whole controversy now. I've been paying attention to the news, a sefer called Pshutai Shal Mikra. Pshutai Shal Mikra has been banned by all the Gedolei Yisrael.
The Chumash.
What? So the Pshutai Shal Mikra, right? You love it, so do I. So Pshutai Shal Mikra has been banned. Why? There's a lot that has to be understood why it's banned. But you see, it's very similar to what we just learned. Rashi says the pshat. The Malbim comes along and he says a different pshat. Now the Malbim is a contemporary, is like a modern person.
Yes.
And the Malbim's pshat is basically based on an appreciation of a new reality. And today, I think most people relate to what the Malbim says much more than what Rashi says. Because Rashi wrote it in his time, and in his time, Rashi learned it one way. Today, there's a new reality, there's a history of 800 years, and the Malbim, this is what it means. This is what the Pasuk means. So, the question is, you got to be very careful. Because Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. The Malbim is Kodesh Kodoshim, but it's not Rashi. So what becomes the Pshuta Shel Mikra? Mark, what would you say? What's the Pshuta Shel Mikra? Like Rashi and the Malbim is a Drush? Or is the Malbim the Pshat? It fits in very well in the Pshat. And Rashi becomes now the Drush. It's very dangerous. I remember our official Shachter, Shlita, he gave many, many Shi'urim Dafyomi on Darla Dafur, Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum, Zechat Tzadok Levracha. I remember him once speaking and he said that he was preparing one of the Shi'urim. He put an enormous, enormous amount of time into giving a Shi'ur. He said that it took him 6 hours just to say the Shi'ur. Because he went, kept on saying, when it goes back, no good, back. That's already after spending many, many hours preparing. He spent many hours preparing the Gemara, the Daf, to know the Daf inside out. And then it took him just 6 hours to say it onto the tape. So he said that he had a Gemara and a Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi said a very convoluted pshat, a very difficult pshat, a whole mahalach in the Gemara, very, very hard, complex. It's a struggle to get through the Gemara going through Rashi. Tosfos, on the page, learned the Gemara sweet, simple as pie, very, very poshut. So he went to Rav Pam, Zechet Tzadok Levracha, and he asked Rav Pam, when I say it on the tape, can I say it? Lefi Tosfos. It's just so much easier. You know, people learn Daf Yomi, what do you have to give them a hard time? Can I say, when I give the shir, can I learn the pshat in the Gemara? We're going to learn over Lefim Halach of Tosfos. Because it's just glat. Rashi, it's very complicated. So Rav Pam told him, no. Even though in a Chinami, Tosfos is very simple, and Rashi is very difficult in this situation, and it's going to cause you a lot of work, and the listeners to understand. But Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is Rashi Tevois, Rabban Shel Yisrael. We may not understand why Rashi chose to learn the Mahal Gemara like this way, but Rashi is the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. And that's how you have to give the Shir. No, it's a breach in the Mesoira to go learn the Mahal Lefi Tosfos. What? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't know. So I'm just saying over here is this Zimli learn over here. This is none of my business. I have nothing to do with this. They did not ban Rashi. It's the same people. They did not. It's not one person. It's a team of people, and they did not ban the more popular sefer called Rashi Kipshutoi, which is a classic. They only banned. But you learn, but it's what I just told. What is the issue about? The issue is what I just demonstrated here with the Malbim and with Rashi. Rashi learns his pasuk is Hashem, did we ever go and worship idols? Never. And because if we would worship idols, you would track us down and you would kill us, you would punish us. Along comes the Malbim. The Malbim says, we worship the idols. But Hashem, even when we worshiped the idols, we were thinking about you. And Hashem, you know, you investigate, you know what's in our hearts. The Malbim is glat. Ah, it fits into the words. It's so, because it's so, Rashi is a hard pshat. Yet, Rashi is Rashi. Malbim is Malbim. Everything has to be understood in the proper perspective. That's the only takeaway I get out of reading the newspaper, the Hamodia, presenting this controversy that's going on now, as if we have nothing else to worry about. Nothing else to worry about. It's not about America. That's what someone explained to me. The controversy is, everything's in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, it's so popular in the Chadorim, in the elementary schools, the Rebbeim are using this as the basic text to teach third grade and second grade. So if it would be a Stama Sefer, Gesunde Heit, who cares? The Rebbeim and all the elementary schools, this is what they're using. This is what they're using to teach Chumash. So there are some Kanoim that say, you know, you're going away from the Messiah. You're not putting things, everything is good and fine, but there's a certain perspective. When you teach, the tradition of the Jewish people is to learn Pshat Lefi Rashi, and then you'll say, you have a nice, put out a nice Jewish sefer, Ein Moshiv Nal HaJewish, but to make the No, the Chumash version, the Pshut Shel Mikra version. All right, this is not for us. Let's stop over here. Okay.
The tweet that says that Rashi Pshutai is very